Well, good afternoon, everyone. I am going to call this meeting to order. This is the January 19, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kottkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me. Those include appeals of administrative decisions and zone change requests. That's what we have on the agenda for today. Now, I consider any testimony and evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials on file, in order to make my decision. I should note that we do have one item on the agenda that I will not be hearing. That will be at the end of the agenda after I leave. So I assume that the hearing examiner pro tem will have his own comments to make before the start of that hearing. So the information I'm going to give you about the hearing process relates only to those matters that are going to be heard by me first. So I should note that there are, for my items, there are one, two, three administrative appeals. Those appeals are matters between the county and the appellants. There's no general public testimony on any of those appeals. Of course, the appellants and the county are allowed to call witnesses. But there's no general testimony. I just wanted anybody who is here on those matters to understand that I'm glad you're here and you're to watch the proceedings, but you won't be able to provide a general public testimony.
Welcome to the Audio Conferencing Center.
And I don't know who that is. Can everybody check your phones and make sure that you are muted? Whoever called in with number 8303, staff might be able to help me. I think it's pound six or star six that can mute you and then unmute you as necessary.
That's David Newman.
So the hearing is going to go today is as follows. First of all, staff will present their report to make whatever recommendations they wish to make. Then the appellant or the applicant will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. The appellant and applicant have the burden of proof to show compliance with the applicable rules and regulation, and for the appellants that the administrative appeal was improperly made. For the zone change, if there's anybody from the public that wishes to testify on that matter, you'll be given an opportunity to do so. If you are going to testify, what I'm going to have you do is state your name and address, and then I'll swear you in as a witness. I'd ask you to keep your testimony relevant to the application that we're talking about and not to other issues beyond the scope of the proposal. And if you have anything in writing that you want to submit, you may do so. I have the option following this hearing to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. Except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding requests to reopen a hearing and requests for reconsideration, my decisions on these matters are final and conclusive unless they are appealed. Appeals are by means of what's called a land use petition action, and they must be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of the decision. And if the appeal isn't timely filed, the appeal would be barred. I've reviewed each item on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in any of the properties or the proposals to be heard today, and I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider each item. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for each item, along with all those attachments to the staff report, which generally include all the application materials, all the noticing documents, all the appeal documents, there's expert witness reports, there are public comments, there's agency comments on the first item on today's agenda. There is a declaration from Mr. Beardsley with an attachment for two of the items that are on today's agenda. Other than essentially reviewing all of those items and the entire planning staff file for each matter, I've not had any communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as a hearing examiner for any of the items, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll turn to the first item on today's agenda. This is the zone change that I was talking about. This is given application number ZC21-119. This is an application for a change of a land use designation of approximately 30 acres from rural residential resource to rural industrial. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. For the record, I will admit into the record that staff report, all the attachments to the staff report, which included those application materials, there are agency comments, there are public comments, there are noticing documents. I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference and turn this matter over to Ms. Lorbeer, I believe, for the staff presentation.
It is Mr. White that's going to be making the presentation for this one.
All right, Mr. White.
So this in regards to, thank you, Andy. This is in regards to zone change 21-119. It is in regards to changing the land use designation of about 30 acres from RR5 to rural industrial. This is the second component of previously started zone change or zoning map amendment that began with the county commissioners approving the comprehensive plap amendment, which was project number CPA 21-118 by resolution number 2021-48 that changed the comprehensive land use designation of this from RR5 to rural industrial. And this zoning change just is a corresponding component of it that changes the zoning layer from RR5 to rural industrial. So pursuant to the land use designations of the comprehensive plan, this zoning map amendment we find implements the changes adopted by the resolution that was adopted by the county commissioners, and staff recommends the approval of zone change 21-119 based on the findings of facts and conclusions provided in the staff report.
And the county is the applicant in this matter, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so there's not going to be an applicant presentation. That would have been your staff report, just to make sure we're clear on that.
I don't see the person who is in charge of that on the Zoom meeting.
Okay. All right, so we'll turn it over to the public then. Did any member of the public come to testify on this matter?
I have, sir. My name is Jim Kuntz, and I'm the CEO of the Chelan Douglas Regional Port Authority.
All right, sir, I'll have you raise your right hand for me. Sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Kuntz, I have received two letters from you, but what else would you like to tell me about this?
Just, I wanted to make sure that, just provide a little context. The Port District in 2019 purchased property in Malaga called the Lojo property. It was a 79-acre parcel to do economic development for Chelan County. As you know, Chelan County is limited with available land based on 85% of it being owned by state and federal resources. We've recently acquired some property next to it, have another option. And what we need is a larger industrial park in order for us to attract new jobs and economic investment. And so we think this is consistent, obviously, with the comp plan. Malaga is well suited for industrial economic development opportunities. And we just wanted to speak in favor of the county's application for the rezoning of these two properties, which will enable us to have a larger business park and increase our opportunities to be successful to create new jobs for the valley.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Kuntz, for coming in today. I appreciate that. Did any other member of the public come to testify on this matter? If so, unmute yourself and state your name and address, please. All right, I'm not seeing anybody unmute themselves. Is there anything further from staff?
Nothing further.
All right, then what I'm going to do is I am going to close the public record portion of this hearing, and I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. We'll turn to the next item on today's agenda. This is an administrative appeal. You have an application number AA21-509. This is an appeal of an administrative decision that denied a short-term rental permit as an existing non-conforming short-term rental. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. And for the record, I will admit into the record at this time by this reference. The staff report that has been prepared, I'll admit the application materials, the denial letter, the noticing documents, I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I'll admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference and turn this matter over, I believe, to Ms. Riles for the staff presentation.
Thank you. So the applicant submitted materials via email to apply for an existing non-conforming short-term rental. Materials were received on October 19th and 20th of 2021. Property in question is located at 25 Harris Row in Nansen. The previous owner had held a vacation rental permit, which expired December 31st of 2018. It was not renewed by that owner nor applied for by the current owner. The short-term rental code 1188-290, subsection 2EIF states that if in Manson a short-term rental was to have been properly registered as a vacation rental with Chelan County as of August 25th, 2020, or that the short-term rental owner had held a previous vacation rental permit. A letter of denial was sent to the applicant October 20th, 2021, citing the code. And that the notation was that if it was located inside the Manson urban growth area, there had to be documentary evidence that the short-term rental was properly registered as a vacation rental as of August 25th, 2020, or that the short-term rental owner had previously held a VR permit. Documentary evidence also satisfies that the requirements found above provided failure to accurately represent and disclose property short-term rental history as grounds for permanent denial or revocation and loss of existing non-conforming status. The property in question was not properly registered as a vacation rental with Chelan County during the relevant time frame, and on November 1st, 2021, an appeal request form was received from the applicant. Staff recommends the denial be upheld based on the applicant not qualifying for the status based on Chelan County Code 1188-290 and his non-compliance with obtaining the required vacation rental permit in Manson to operate legally.
All right, thank you very much. Is the appellant ready to proceed?
Good afternoon, this is David Newman.
All right, Mr. Newman, welcome to the hearing. Are you ready to proceed?
Yes, I am.
All right, so what I'm gonna have you do is state, just for the record, your name and your address, and then I'm gonna swear you in as a witness, okay?
Yes, sir.
What's
David
your name
Newman,
and address?
25 years. David Newman, 25 Harris Row, Manson, Washington.
All right, I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me, if you would. And sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, thank you. Mr. Newman, what would you like to tell me?
The information that was provided by the short-term rental office is correct. The home was purchased in March 2020 as my retirement home and subsequently has been listed as my primary residence. I have five more years of work before I do retire. I am in the prime of my career. I'm an airline pilot that flies international, and I became aware of the possibility to use the home as a short-term rental when I was doing my due diligence on purchasing the property. It was a factor in me buying the home. After I purchased the home in March of 2020, I listed the home with a company called Evolve Vacation Rentals. They inspected my home, they did a photo shoot, and they recommended I hire a company called Avalar to handle all my tax collections, legal licensing and permitting. Now, during this time frame, COVID was raging. I was having a hard time communicating with Evolve and Avalar because a lot of offices were closed down and subsequent work was moved to individuals' home. I worked with Avalar in Chelan County to establish the proper lodging taxes. Avalar informed me everything was in place, and they invoiced me for setup and licensing and permitting of my property. Then shortly after, Evolve Property Management Company informed me that they had heard from Avalar and that my property was ready for a rental. I held off a few weeks until the exterior painting was complete, and my first rental was June 26, 2020, for 6 days. And subsequent throughout the summer, I did an additional 13 rentals in 2020. In December, I communicated with Avalar to inquire about my short-term rental renewal. And in my appeal letter, I put an excerpt of that conversation. They informed me that I needed to work directly with Chelan County. So I contacted Chelan County and asked for a renewal of my STR. I was informed by Chelan County that there was none on file. I asked them to check again. They said, you do not have an STR. I said, okay, can we issue one? And they said, no, we're not issuing any more STRs because of the moratorium. I said, well, what am I supposed to do? And I'm going to quote the exact quote that was given me. I don't have the person's name. I wasn't on a Zoom call, but she sounded very familiar with the process of the STRs. And I'll quote, she said, what I suggest is you continue to do what you're doing and pay your taxes to prove that you are an existing STR. This will get worked out in the fall when the new STR codes are written. So I rented again in 2021 with an additional 13 rentals. Between the 2 years, 2021 and 2020, I paid over $8,000 in revenue that equated to the lodging tax. I was operating like I had an STR. I had a property management company managing my property, and I had people collecting taxes like I was operating as an STR. We're all aware that COVID has impacted the economy and the supply chains, and we're dealing with that today. I tried to pin down Avalar on exactly what happened in my property setup, and I got tap dance, I got excuses. I was told maybe there was miscommunications, possibly something was overlooked from the home office. They refused to acknowledge their mistake in pulling the STR or their mistake in communicating to me that they were pulling the STR. They did, however, send me a small business license for my property that they went and procured on my behalf. So they did do some of the things they said they were going to do. So in summation, what I'm asking for is to grant me the non-compliant STR. I did rent prior to 2020 in June. There is a missing STR for that year, and that can be easily rectified with the fees for that year. Whatever fees are associated with the 2021 STR rewrite, and any fees and inspections going forward. Because as the STRs are written right now, they're discriminatory in nature to me. I'm within 200 feet of existing STR permits, and I will not be able to rent under the current code and regulation. This is direct encroachment on my property, on my private property rights. Whether I have the STR or not, people are going to be staying in my home throughout the summer because I'm gone. I've got a lot of friends. I got a lot of family members. I can do equal trade with airline pilots from different parts of the country that would love to come see Lake Chelan. What I'm asking is, this STR was written to bring everybody in compliance. And that's what I'm asking to be brought into compliance. I collected and paid a lot of revenue when I operated as an STR for 2020 and 2021. That concludes my presentation.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Newman. Anything else you'd like to add at this point?
No, sir.
All right. I appreciate you coming in. Is there anything further from staff?
Nothing further. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Newman, I'm going to look at everything again very, very closely. I'm going to close the record on this hearing. I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. I don't know what I'm going to do with this one. It's an interesting case. So I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days, okay?
Is there Thank you for your consideration.
Pardon?
Hello, my name is Karen Merritt. Is there public comment allowed?
No. On administrative appeals, these are between the county and the appellate. There's not public testimony, but you're more than welcome to view the proceedings.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so that goes for the next item on today's agenda too. This is between the appellant and the county. This is an application for an administrative appeal given application number AA21-458. This is an application regarding an appeal for the because of the denial of a shoreline substantial development permit. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. Once again, for the record, I will admit into the record that staff report, all the attachments to the staff report, which included all the application materials, all the noticing documents that have come through, the SEPA documents. There are all the appeal documents that have come in, the letters from Mr. Gatens. I have a declaration that was sent to me, I believe, yesterday from Mr. Beardsley with an attachment. That'll be admitted into the record. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference. And I'll turn this matter over to, looks like, Ms. Strother for the staff presentation.
Thank you. This is an application for an administrative appeal with fees. It was submitted for the denial of a shoreline substantial development permit for the construction of a joint use pier for the installation of a boat lift and two mooring buoys and the assembly of a shoreline access stair within the shoreline jurisdiction. The subject properties are located at off of Green Landings Road. Both properties are zoned commercial ag. The joint use dock is designated to be between a waterfront property and a non-waterfront property. Pursuant to Chelan County Code Shoreline Master Program, our Shoreline Master Program 5.14 requires joint use if moorage is to be provided as part of residential development of two or more waterfront dwelling units or lots is to be part of a subdivision created after May 3rd, 1994. The intent of a joint use dock requirement is to minimize the impact of private moorage facilities by reducing the number of allowable single-use and joint-use docks. The State of Washington Department of Ecology Shoreline Master Program Handbook states the SMP guidelines state the master program should include provisions to require residential development of two or more dwelling units to provide joint use or community dock facilities. The purpose of joint use docks is to reduce the proliferation of piers and docks. The joint use docks should be shared by shoreline properties, not a shoreline owner and an upland owner. Staff recommends the shoreline substantial development permit denial decision to be upheld based on the analysis in the appeal staff report, the Chelan County Shoreline Master Program and the State of Washington Department of Ecology Shoreline Master Program Handbook.
All right, thank you very much. Is the applicant ready to, or the appellant ready to proceed?
We are, Mr. Examiner.
All right, and your name and address for the record?
Your Honor, or Mr. Hearing Examiner, Clay Gatens, 305 Applets Way, Cashmere, Washington, on behalf of Appellants Bowser and Peterson as to SDP 21-109, and also Towns and Peterson as to SDP 21-108.
I recognize that these appeals have the same basis for each other, but we're going to take them separately. But when we get to the second one, you can just say, I incorporate all the evidence from 458 into 459, and I'll do that summarily. So, but we will take them separately in case there is some sort of a separate issue that comes up with one that's not applicable to the other. Okay. All right, Mr. Gatens, will you be providing any testimony today?
Nothing other than the already submitted and sounds like admitted declaration of Dan Beardsley as to both, but in this case specifically SDP 2108, which is where I think we'll start.
Okay. All right. Please proceed.
So I'm going to make it even easier. You know, Mr. Examiner, here we are again, right? I think this is the third time in at least the year and a half where the substantive issue related to whatever denial is up on appeal before you really boils down to the staff or the county inserting language into the code that simply doesn't exist. That's well covered in my letter briefings to you. And so for the most part, for the sake of efficiency with my time here today, as well as yours and in particular my clients, as well as keeping any future verbatim transcripts not longer than they need to be, I'm gonna rest on my letter briefings to you unless you have any specific questions. The one caveat to that I will point out just because it came up in the staff's testimony here again today is the really the central issue of the testimony from staff today directly citing to Shoreline Management Plan Code Section 5.14 specifically stated to you that it reads that it's exclusive to waterfront properties only, and that's just not what the text says. There isn't the word waterfront property in section 5.14. That's well covered in my briefings. There is reference to waterfront property in a subsection. That's covered in my briefings as well, but I would call Mr. Examiner's attention to the fact that that's the central issue, is that there continues to be the addition of language that simply doesn't exist in the code section, and that really is what has turned on the analysis, and we'll rest on that point unless you have any specific questions.
I have a couple. First of all, I read Mr. Beardsley's declaration a couple of times, and I'm not sure how to apply it to these appeals. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, I included that more or less as an abundance of caution. So the original denial for both of these, but again, in this case specifically SDP 2108. So the original denial in it had a reference to WAC, that particular WAC. And specifically, it's on page 4 of 7 of the original denial, paragraph 19.1. About a third of the way in, there's reference to the intent of the applicable section of CCSMP is connected to WAC 332-30-144. That whole line, that whole reference to WAC doesn't appear in the staff report. It looks like staff maybe abandoned it, but in an abundance of caution, I wanted to address it in a footnote and testimony from Mr. Beardsley. That WAC, for your information, relates to aquatic lands owned by the state of Washington. The docks, the proposed docks and moorage facilities simply don't cross the 1079 line, meaning that they just aren't within the state's jurisdiction. And Mr. Beardsley's declaration is just there to put into the record that fact and that notation. But again, it doesn't appear in any of my readings of the staff report that there's any reference to that WAC. So, I'm not sure that it's germane to the analysis further than that.
Okay, perfect. The second one is, and I think the county has some problematic issues with their decision, but I think there's also something problematic on your side too. And it primarily goes to the goal to minimize single-use docks on the lake. And if you are combining a upland property with a lakefront property and calling that a joint-use dock, And then the neighbor next door does the same thing, and the neighbor next door does the same thing. I'm not seeing how this is stopping what is a goal to reduce the proliferation of single-use docks, or at least what appear to be single-use docks on the lake. So it really wasn't addressed, and I want to just give you a chance to respond to that if you want.
Sure. A couple of things. And I think first you'd said to stop the proliferation of single-use docks, but I think you mean the proliferation of single-use and joint-use docks, joint-use docks being the issue before us here today. But first, in response, you know, and we addressed this in the letter briefing, that the there are multiple goals and public policies surrounding the shoreline management program. And we've cited to some of those, specifically the private 1-3 components and the policy of protecting private property rights and allowing for use of the shorelines. That those policy goals are expressly not limited to excluding from the shorelines owners that don't own waterfront property. So I would suggest to Mr. Examiner that when you look at the totality of the goals and intents under the shoreline management program, that there's entirely absent from any attempt to exclude non-waterfront property owners from accessing the waterfront. So that would be the first point that I would have. The second point that I would have is, I think that the argument or the question that you're making is sort of is effectively math, is saying, well, how does this reduce the number of joint use docks? And again, I think that the answer to that question is that the shoreline management plan already allows, for example, if it's a 3-up lot waterfront development and one of the lots already has a dock, that gets to stay. So there's a lot of exceptions that allow for under certain circumstances where you don't fit into, hey, there's just 2 waterfront lots, period, final, the end, that there already are features built into the code that allow for more docks than the straight math otherwise, you know, would allow for. But I think most importantly, Mr. Examiner, the answer to your question, and I think that's most illustrative of the county's problematic and flawed logic and ultimately denial, is really the reliance on the shoreline management handbook. And I'm trying not to belabor this because it's already addressed in our briefings, but first of all, the handbook has not been, nor has it ever been adopted by Chelan County. It has no precedential or controlling authority. It is a tool to help guide local municipalities in their adoption and updating of shoreline management plans. And I think that really, when you look at that, so citing to it as somehow controlling or dictating the code is categorical error. But here's the argument that I'll make to you, and here's the argument that I'll make in front of the Shoreline Management Board. The county's reliance on the handbook, it actually cuts against their arguments. The Shoreline Management Plan was developed in conjunction with that handbook and has been amended or enacted and amended twice in the last 4 or 5 years. Both times, the county commissioners elected not to include that language that very clearly restricted joint docks to waterfront properties only. So if anything, it's illustrative of a direct intent of the county commissioners to not adopt that language and not restrict joint use docks to waterfront property owners only. Had the handbook, for whatever it's worth, simply not mentioned that, or had it mirrored, or had the county's shoreline management plan mirrored the language of the handbook, I suppose you could make ambiguity and intent arguments, or this unfettered canopy of spirit and intent that continues to cause these problems and these denials. But here you have a concrete example of a handbook that the county is relying on to say that you have to require joint use docks, when the code itself has been adopted twice and approved by Department of Ecology twice, expressly excluding and leaving out that language that they're relying on. And I think that's demonstrative evidence of the intent of the governing jurisdictional body, the legislative body, which in this case is the Cheyenne County Commissioners, to not tie joint use docks solely to waterfront properties in the way that the handbook did and does. And they had that discretion. They've exercised it twice. The Department of Ecology has blessed it twice. And to try to interpolate language that simply doesn't exist in the code now at the staff level is error.
All right. That helped. Thank you very much, Mr. Gates.
Thank you.
Did you want to call any witnesses for your appeal, or just go on the declaration with Mr. Beardsley and the legal argument that's been presented?
No additional witnesses. The declaration of Beardsley and the legal arguments in the record.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Gatens. Once again, on this matter, there's no public testimony. So is there anything further from the county?
No, sir.
All right. Mr. Gatens, I will close the record then on this hearing. I'll have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. We'll turn to the matter of the second matter, very similar matter, AA21-459. This is also an administrative appeal on the denial of a shoreline substantial development permit on the same basis as the last hearing. So for the record, I will admit into the record not only the staff report and the appeal documents and the application materials and the entire planning staff file for this matter, but I'll also admit into the record all of the testimony and argument, more importantly, all the legal argument that was provided by Mr. Gatens regarding AA21-458. So that will be admitted into the record on this matter as applicable to AA21-459. And I'll turn this matter over to staff for whatever presentation you wish to make.
Thank you. This is just like the Towns Peterson administrative appeal. It's for the denial of a shoreline substantial development permit for the construction of a joint use pier, installation of a boat lift and two mooring buoys, and the assembly of a shoreline access stairs within the shoreline jurisdiction. The properties are off of Green Landings Road. One's a waterfront and one is a non-waterfront parcel. Let's see. Basically, all of the details are pretty much exactly the same. Staff recommends the shoreline substantial development permit denial decision be upheld based on the analysis of the appeal staff report, Chelan County Shoreline Master Program, and the State of Washington Department of Ecology Shoreline Master Program Handbook.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Gatens, anything, first of all, are you here on behalf of the appellant in this matter as well?
Yes, Mr. Examiner. I am on behalf of Towns and Peterson as to SDP 21-08, or excuse me, -09. Yeah, so let me start that over. Mr. Examiner, Mr. Gatens, on behalf of Bowser and Peterson, all as to SDP 21-109.
All right. And the administrative appeal file is AA21-459. Is there anything, I've admitted all of your argument and all the documentation of Mr. Beardsley's declaration and attachment into the record in this matter as well. Is there anything you'd like to add that might be unique to this file that wasn't applicable to the last matter?
Nothing. I would agree with staff that they're substantively identical, and I have nothing further to add other than my in addition to my prior argument and the testimony of Mr. Beardsley.
All right. All right. Anything further from staff?
No, sir.
All right. What I'm going to do is I am going to close the public record portion of this hearing as well. I'll have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. Note for the record, two things. Those are all the items that I was going to have on today's agenda. And I do not see Mr. McLean here. So before I leave, I just want to make sure if this matter is still going. I'm going to leave. I'm not a part of this. But is staff going to get a hold of Mr. McLean to join the hearing at this time?
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
All right. All right, everybody, thank you very much for your time and attention. I am going to take a recess into this hearing at this time until the hearing examiner pro tem can join the hearing. Everybody have a great day. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Andy. So per pro-term TEM hearing examiner Gary McLean, the following application has been continued until February 16th, 2022, hearing examiner meeting at 1 p.m. If anyone has any additional questions, they can contact us on our Chelan County Community Development webpage or give us a call at 509-667-6225.
Why don't you tell them the application number?
And the application number for this project is AA21-162. Higley. So please, if you have any additional questions, don't hesitate to give us a call. Have a good day.